Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, January the 10th, 2013. Get ready for some very, very cold weather this weekend. Cover up those plants, take care of all the companion animals, and make sure all the pipes are securely covered. We are live each weekday from noon to 1 right here on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030. It is KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We are also Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We are live streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. You can hear our programs anytime, anywhere by visiting buckmastershow.com. We also post our program to the tucsonsentinel.com and TucsonCitizen.com. Plus, we now have a link to the Buckmaster Show on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. And we also have a link on the homepage for Blog for Arizona. During this noon hour, we will be getting things rolling here with a newsmaker interview with Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn. That will be coming up in a few minutes. Then at 30 minutes past the hour, we'll talk with Sandra Watson. Sandra Watson is the new president and the CEO of the Arizona Commerce Authority. And we'll close things out with Dr. Mark Sykes. Dr. Sykes is head of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. We'll be talking about a new study showing that there are billions of Earth-sized planets in the Milky Way. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040, or you can post a comment or question to our Facebook page. If you have a story idea or a particular guest that you would like to hear interview, we would encourage you to contact us. While we're waiting to connect with Tom Horn, the Arizona Attorney General, I want to direct you to the BuckmasterShow.com website. We have all of our shows posted there. If there's a particular program that you missed, we have it available for you at BuckmasterShow.com. We also have our extensive list of contributors to the Buckmaster Show. These are, well, 24 folks who are a regular part of the Buckmaster Show, and we welcome their participation, and we're glad that they are involved with the Buckmaster Show. It's an impressive list of people that we are very proud of, so if you would like to check that out, we will encourage you to do so. The Buckmaster Show is live noon to 1 right here on KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. And Mr. Horn joins us now, Tom Horn, Attorney General for the state of Arizona. Mr. Horn, how are you?
It's always great to be with you.
Thanks. It's great to have you on the program.
Thank you.
It would seem, Tom Horn, that last year was a difficult one for you professionally. After all, Maricopa County prosecutors and federal investigators accuse you of violating state laws by coordinating election tactics in 2010 with an independent expenditure committee.
It's a false charge. And
okay.
I'm not worried about it. I'm working very hard. I've got 2 U.S. Supreme Court arguments in 5 months, which is something of a record. And I've been arguing in state superior court, the state Supreme Court, Ninth Circuit, federal district court down in Tucson. I've been working very hard and not worrying about the false charges.
And I was just going to say that here in Tucson, as you know, the Arizona Star actually called for your resignation, saying that you had shown a pattern of shady conduct and should resign. Did you ever consider resigning?
No, and I've never considered anything that appears on the editorial page of the Red Star.
Tom Horn with us, Arizona Attorney General. Want to move on to the topic of the day, Mr. Horn. It looks like the gun control debate will dominate the start of the 2013 Arizona legislative session, which, as you know, gets underway next week. Today, Senate Assistant Minority Leader Linda Lopez is unveiling details of her proposal to reform state gun laws. That plan would require background checks for all private and gun show gun sales and banning high-capacity ammunition magazines. The governor is going to introduce a plan of her own, as will the Republican lawmakers. You have weighed in so far on this after the Newtown tragedy. You're proposing allowing each school to train and arm its principal or another staff member. Tell us about what you have in mind.
Well, it's really an offer of a free service. What we've offered is that either the principal or somebody he designates, it could be another administrator or it could be a teacher with military background or police background, to come and be trained, and we'll provide that training for free. Three sheriffs have joined in with me. I'm hoping other sheriffs will join as well. So sheriff's offices will provide training, and our office will provide training. I have 36 investigators who are sworn police officers who can do that. And the training will be not only in marksmanship, but in good judgment, you know, when to shoot, when not to shoot, how to handle emergency situations, how to keep a gun locked in a secure place at school so kids can't get at it, and so on. And once we provide that training and the person is certified under that training, then they should be allowed to have a gun at school. Now, that would require some legislation, because currently no one can have a gun in school except a police officer or a retired police officer. So that'll require some legislation to permit that. Luckily, we're not being controlled by the federal government on this. As you may remember, the Congress passed a bill prohibiting guns in schools, and the U.S. Supreme Court declared that unconstitutional because it was passed under the Congress's commerce power, and the U.S. Supreme Court felt that stretched the commerce power too far. It was one of the few cases that has limited the federal government's reach under the Commerce Clause, and it's a good thing they did that, so that we as a state now have flexibility to provide for some solutions of the type that I've proposed. Now, this is entirely voluntary. No one has to do it. I'm just offering, if the schools want it, they can have it for free from us. If they don't want it, that's their choice.
Have some lawmakers stepped up and said they will introduce such legislation?
The majority leader has opened a file on it, which is the first step necessary to get legislation introduced, but the actual introduction hasn't been determined whether it'll come from him or because he's in leadership, and usually those in leadership have very few, if any, bills that they themselves sponsor might be sponsored by someone else.
Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio wants to put armed volunteer sheriff's office posse members near schools. I think, has he already started that?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Would you be in favor of that?
I have certainly no objection to it, but he hasn't included me as part of that, so I'm not knowledgeable about it. You know, I have invited him to participate in our program, and I'm hoping that he and the other sheriffs who have not yet become part of our program will do so.
We're speaking with Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn on the Buckmaster Show. If you would like to join in the conversation, if you have a comment or question for the Attorney General, 790-2040, 790-2040. Are you a gun owner yourself, Mr. Horn?
Yes, and I have a concealed carry permit, which you don't have to have under the current legislation, but I thought it was good for me to have the training and to obtain that permit.
And what do you see as the solution to the gun violence that we're seeing?
Well, it's not simple. It's complex. I think we do have to have my main contribution to this debate is to say, let's have somebody armed in every school that can react to an emergency situation. The best solution really would be to have a policeman in every school, and we have had a program called School Resources Officers, or SROs, which I was very involved in when I was the state superintendent of schools. And these are very good because not only are they there to deal with emergencies, but they teach some classes in leadership and being a policeman and so on. And they're there every day, so the kids make friends with them, and they confide in them. They learn their people they can confide in, that they're not the enemy. So it's an excellent program, but it's always been very limited financially. I mean, I think at its peak it was still under 10% of our schools that involved, and the financial crisis came in 2008, and the legislature had to cut back even from that. So it's probably not realistic to think the legislature is going to fund a school resource officer in every school, but that would be the best solution. My proposal is sort of second best. If we can't have a police officer in every school, let's at least have a trained person who's able to respond to emergencies.
I was surprised learning in the Wall Street Journal said that one in three public schools, Tom Horn, in this country already have some kind of an armed guard at the schools. That includes all public schools, elementary, middle schools, and high schools.
Well, as I said, the armed guard that we know of in Arizona are these SROs, the school resource officers, and that's been cut back to a tiny percentage because of financial problems.
Stick around with us, Mr. Horn. We'd like to keep you over for another segment, more to talk about with you, so stay with us. The Buckmaster Show, take a break right here at 12:15 as we listen to the fine lineup of sponsors who believe in this program, and we ask that you support them as well. The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS. Life on Earth begins with water. The plants that sustain us and biodiversity that surrounds us. At UA Biosphere 2, water is big science. From our tropical rainforest and million-gallon ocean to the mountain slopes of LEO, our new landscape evolution observatory. By recreating the natural world on such an immense scale, LEO aims to reveal better ways to understand and manage global water resources. Come see how Biosphere 2 is being used to model climate science, test smart technology, and develop new environmental strategies that can help build a stronger 21st century community. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, where innovation lives, just north of Tucson, America's science city. Explore today. More information at b2science.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and the Kolb Road extension at Tanque Verde. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's coming up now on 1220 on the Buckmaster Show, the Thursday edition. If you would like to talk with Tom Horn, Arizona Attorney General, if you have a comment or question, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Mr. Horn, I want to talk a little bit about before you became Attorney General. Of course, you headed up the State Department of Education. You were the Superintendent of Public Instruction. You led the charge against TUSD's Mexican-American Studies Program. And this week, Tuesday, the TUSD Governing Board voted in support of offering, quote, culturally relevant courses for core credit beginning next school year. What's your reaction to that?
Well, obviously, I'm against it. It's a violation of state law. There's a state law that I actually drafted, was passed by the legislature, signed by the governor, that prohibits courses that are primarily designed for students of a particular ethnicity or that generate resentment against people of other ethnicities or that emphasize ethnic chauvinism rather than treating people as individuals. I believe that it's a fundamental American value that we're all individuals and that what matters about us is our knowledge, our character, not what race we happen to have been born into. And Tucson ethnic studies courses have a history of violating all three of those provisions. And your listeners may want to go on our website, azag.gov, and click ethnic studies, and you can see their references to the curriculum. They'll be shocked at how racist this curriculum has been. They really do generate resentment toward people of other races, and that's exactly the opposite of what we should be doing in the public schools of the United States of America in the 21st century.
Crystal Ann Foster is one of the two new members of the TUSD board. She was elected clerk of the board on Tuesday night, and when she heard that we were having you on the show today, she asked if I would ask you, and she emailed me a couple of sentences, so I'm going to read what she said. She says that the MAS classes at TUSD were analyzed by four different studies, professionally critiqued more than any other program in the district, and each of these studies offers critical feedback indicating what was working and what was not. She says she's confident that TUSD will use this feedback and data as well as the Arizona State standards to construct the culturally relevant core classes outlined in the Unitary Status Plan. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I would urge her to go on our website and read the materials there, particularly our legal memoranda filed in the federal court case, where we have quoted extensively from the curricula, and I think she would be shocked at how openly racist it is. It's really, ordinary people would be astounded. I mean, you've got a small group of very radical teachers, and they would be they're the same people that would be involved, whether you call it Raza studies as they used to, which Raza means the race in Spanish, or whether you call it culturally relevant studies. It's the same teachers who are extremely radical. Their textbook is The Pedagogy of the Oppressed by Paulo Freire, who's a well-known Brazilian Marxist. He himself would describe himself as a Marxist. And the people who developed this course have said that what they did was they took these Marxist theories, which which teach class oppression and racemized them. That's their word. They racemized this theory to teach racial oppression, but they do it. And you know, some racial oppression has been part of history, and it can be taught objectively, but an independent administrative law judge found that in this course it wasn't taught objectively. It was taught in a very politicized way that did generate resentment toward people of other races. And it's just exactly the opposite of what we should be doing in our public schools.
You know, I want to go back to what I said at the beginning of the program. I said that that 2012 had been, perhaps you could construe that as a tough year professionally for you. It sounds like you definitely disagree with that. You mentioned some of the Supreme Court cases and the success you've had. Assess for me, Tom Horn, your first 2 years as Arizona Attorney General.
Well, you know, some of my critics in the newspapers have criticized me for arguing a lot of cases myself, saying that I should be an administrator and let other lawyers argue them. But the word attorney general does include the word attorney in it. And by arguing these cases, I'm sending a message to the other lawyers in the department, because I think under my predecessors, there was a reputation for forcing unfavorable settlements and consent decrees. They didn't have enough experienced lawyers to go to court and argue these cases. I brought a number of experienced lawyers with me. And by arguing these cases myself, I'm sending a message that we will not settle for unfavorable settlements, that we are hungry to go to court and fight for the people of Arizona. And I personally have argued in the Superior Court, the Arizona Supreme Court, Federal District Court, the Ninth Circuit, and the United States Supreme Court. And we just got word 2 days ago that I won the case that I argued in the United States Supreme Court last October with a unanimous vote on all the issues that we presented. They ruled my way. And if I can describe the case for you if you're interested.
Sure. I was just going to say, could you briefly tell us what that case involved?
Yeah, this was a case of a very brutal murder. A couple and their 10-year-old child came home early from going out to dinner to celebrate the father's promotion. And the door was open, so they were fearful there was a burglar. The husband went in to see what was happening. The next thing the wife knew, she saw the burglar on top of her husband, stabbing him repeatedly, and she pleaded with him to stop, and he wouldn't listen. So she jumped on his back to try to stop him. He stabbed her. She was in intensive care but survived. Her husband died from the multiple stab wounds. The burglar was on probation at the time, had a long record. He was deemed a dangerous person and received the death sentence. That was affirmed by the Arizona Supreme Court, and then went to what we call federal habeas corpus. And the case was delayed in federal court for 14 long years. And this wife is beside herself in depression and rage that the federal courts are preventing her from seeing justice done of this horrible crime. Then the last thing the Ninth Circuit did was they put an indefinite stay on the case because the prisoner's mental state had deteriorated and he couldn't help his lawyer in the federal habeas case. So I took that to the U.S. Supreme Court and I argued two things. First of all, I argued in most federal habeas cases, including this one, it's on the record, it's not a new hearing, so the prisoner doesn't need to be able to help the lawyer. He can read the record and that'll give him everything he needs to know to pursue the federal habeas case. And secondly, in those few cases where there is a hearing and he does need help, the stay that's given should be for a limited period of time. There should never be an indefinite stay. And the court ruled in my favor on both of those issues unanimously. I even got Kagan and Sotomayor.
Quickly about immigration, it was an issue, as you know. Tom Horn was not even on the front burner in the presidential election. We never even heard it talked about during the debates, but now there's talk about, again, immigration reform. What is a secure border, and do we have it here in Arizona?
Well, we don't have it. Let me just say that I have another U.S. Supreme Court argument coming up in March, so that's two U.S. Supreme Court arguments in 5 months, which I'm told is something of a record. And in that case, the Ninth Circuit told us that we couldn't ask people who are registering to vote for evidence that they're citizens, which I think violates everybody's common sense. So I've appealed that to the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll be arguing it, saying we ought to be, for people registering to vote, we ought to be able to ask them for evidence that they're citizens. Now, as to what constitutes a secure border, I think you can arrive at that by contrasting the two sectors of the Arizona border. The western sector is called the Yuma sector. The eastern sector is called the Tucson sector. In the western sector, we used to have hundreds of thousands of people crossing every year. And President Bush in 2006 decided to make an example there, and he beefed up the personnel. He spent money on electronics to detect people crossing over, on infrastructure such as roads so you could get there and arrest them when they did, when they were detected crossing over. A great fence. If you're, you know, if you're in Yuma, drive along the fence. You drive endlessly with this big 7-foot iron fence, which is, had a tremendous effect. And as a result of that, the amount of people crossing illegally declined from hundreds of thousands every year to about 7,500 last year. That's basically a secure area. The Tucson sector, hundreds of thousands of people are crossing illegally every year. They don't have the protections in the Tucson sector. And if President Obama would do in the Tucson sector what President Bush did in the Yuma sector, we could have a secure border.
Tom Horn, thank you very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show, and we wish you the best in the year 2013. Thank you very much, Tom.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Tom Horn with us on the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:30, the middle of the show on this Thursday afternoon on Buckmaster, and we will ask you to stick around. We're going to talk about Arizona's economy with the new president and CEO of the Arizona Commerce Authority. That's coming up next. Stay with us.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Vice President Biden says a consensus is emerging on some new steps aimed at limiting gun violence. Biden says he'll send a series of recommendations to President Obama by Tuesday. The president, meanwhile, nominating Jack Lew for the post of Treasury Secretary a year after he named Lew to be his chief of staff at the White House. The Kremlin says an adoption deal with the U.S. will remain valid until next year, despite a new Russian law that bans the practice. Last month, President Vladimir Putin signed the law banning Americans from adopting Russian children. Updating Wall Street, the Dow about 38 points higher at 13,429. The NASDAQ is off a fraction, the S&P up 5 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Karen, could you run to the supply closet for some trophy polish, please?
Do we have trophy polish?
Well, we better find out. See, I just called Cox Business to give our company faster internet and great phone service.
Oh, good.
They've got a J.D. Power and Associates Award, Karen, and they're going to be here any minute.
So you think they bring the award with them wherever they go?
Put it this way. If you were ranked highest in customer satisfaction, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I just want to be prepared, Karen. I just want to be prepared.
Shine up your business with Cox Business. Ranked highest in customer satisfaction among data service providers for small and mid-sized businesses. Power your office in Phoenix with Cox Business and take advantage of our special offer. Bundle Cox Business internet and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today. It just makes sense. Visit coxbusiness.com for offer details. Offer valid until April 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Other restrictions apply. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to this Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Our CEO interview series on Buckmaster is presented by TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Incorporated, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary, high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, TRIO has facilitated the relocation and or expansion of 61 companies in the Tucson region, representing more than 17,000 jobs with a $2.5 billion economic impact. For more information, visit TRIO, TREOAZ.org. Joining me on the Buckmaster Show live line is Sandra Watson. Ms. Watson, the new president and CEO of the Arizona Commerce Authority. Prior to her current position, she served with the Arizona Department of Commerce for 15 years and worked to bring hundreds of companies and tens of thousands of jobs to Arizona. Sandra is a new member of the TRIO Chairman Circle. In 2012, the Phoenix Business Journal named Sandra Watson among the top 25 women in business. She's also a two-time recipient of the Arizona Technology Council Chairman's Award. Sandra, how are you today?
Wonderful. Thank you, Bill, and thank you for inviting me to join you today.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I think our listeners would like to learn a bit about the Arizona Commerce Authority. What is the mission of the ACA and some of the goals?
Well, the ACA is the state's primary economic development agency, tasked with growing and strengthening the state's overall economy. We accomplish this mission by utilizing a three-pronged approach: recruit, grow, and create. We recruit companies from out of state to expand their operations in Arizona. We work with existing companies to grow their business in Arizona. And then we partner with entrepreneurs to assist and facilitate the creation of new innovative companies and technologies. Each strategy is designed to drive wealth and job creation in the state.
And when was the authority created, Sandra? A little bit of history about it.
Right. The authority was officially created by statute, and this was made possible through the leadership of the governor and the state legislature. They led historic legislation that created an aggressive economic development strategy in February of 2011. The governor called a special session, which resulted in the historic legislation that created this organization, as well as a number of tax and regulatory reforms and enhancing some existing programs that we had, and then creating some new programs to encourage job creation. In short, a completely new way of doing business here in Arizona.
What are some of the industries, Sandra Watson, that the ACA will be focusing on and trying to attract to our state?
We're very focused on Arizona's strengths. So Arizona has incredible strengths in aerospace and defense, as you know, in southern Arizona. That's a strong industry, as well as semiconductors. We're also very focused on the nascent industries that exhibit strong growth for potential. So optics, photonics, bioscience, renewable energy. Our focus is really on industries that grow in economic output and employment. They create high-wage, quality jobs for the state, provide a competitive advantage for Arizona, generate export potential and opportunities, have strong supply chain opportunities, again, businesses that are enhancing wealth and job creation for the state.
A lot of folks may not realize it, but according to the latest surveys, Arizona is the number one state for entrepreneurs. They like what they have here, and they start up businesses. How does the Arizona Commerce Authority provide services to these people?
Well, innovation and entrepreneurship is one of our primary focus areas for the ACA. We want to help and invest in the incredibly talented minds and ideas that our state has to offer. We have supported, since our inception, early-stage innovative entrepreneurs and small businesses in a number of ways. We have established many new programs. I'll give you a couple of examples. The Arizona Innovation Challenge, which is a new program that we launched at the ACA. It is the country's largest business plan competition. It's a $3 million business challenge. We run it two times a year, and we just awarded $1.5 million just this past week. We also offer a venture-ready entrepreneur mentor program. The top 25 semifinalists from the Arizona Innovation Challenge are eligible to be part of this program. And this mentor program is designed to help these businesses, again, to further enhance and grow their opportunities. We have an angel investment tax credit program that provides for investors who are investing in qualified small businesses. We also launched the Arizona SaaS Grants, which is a program that provides coaching to companies to help them access federal research dollars. In addition to that, we designed a P3 playbook that also helps companies to better compete for those federal dollars. We've just launched a new program. It's a loan program, the Arizona Innovation Accelerator Fund, as well as we have a program in place that's the Arizona STEP Grant that provides assistance to early-stage companies to look at other markets.
So there's a whole menu, it looks like. Yeah, and I want to talk a little bit about the Arizona Commerce Authority's relationship with TRIO here, our economic developer in southern Arizona.
We have just an incredible relationship with TRIO, and working together is absolutely critical. The partnership and statewide collaboration strengthens our state's overall economy and our competitiveness. We had a wonderful example of this in a recent announcement of Accelerate, which moved its corporate headquarters to southern Arizona. Accelerate is a revolutionary bioscience company committed to bringing high-skilled, high-wage jobs and millions of dollars of capital investment to southern Arizona. This, as you know, is a key industry for us, bioscience. And the relocation decision was a result of a true cohesive partnership between the state, TRIO, Pima County, the city of Tucson, together we were able to come up with a solution for wet lab space, which was a key factor in the company's decision to relocate. As a result, we developed an asset that can be used now and in the future to attract additional companies also needing wet lab space, so further enhancing our opportunity to be a premier state for bioscience industry.
So it really sounds like collaboration seems to be the key to the new ventures that are on the horizon, not only for TRIO, but for the Arizona Commerce Authority. I'm not sure if we lost you there. We did. We lost Sandra, but we were about out of time anyway. And I do want to thank Sandra for her time. She is the new president and CEO of the Arizona Commerce Authority, talking about the collaboration that the Arizona Commerce Authority has had with TRIO. And Sandra, if you're back, she is not back with us. Okay, I just want to say thank you for being a part of our CEO interview series presented by TRIO. You can get more information about TRIO at TRIO, TRIOAZ.org.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Since 2006, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing more than 500 projects. Current projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and La Cañada Drive from River to Ina. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, and Sun Shuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. One of our fine sponsors of the program is Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, and they've got the Red Paint Powwow coming up in Silver City. So this would be a fun weekend getaway. That's January 18th, 19th, and 20th. Silver City's only 3.5 hours east of Tucson, so if you're looking for a weekend getaway in the early new year, how about Silver City? You can find out more about Silver City at southwestnewmexico.org. There's a list there of all the great places to stay in Silver City, including Agave Ridge Retreat, Axel Canyon Preserve, and Bear Creek Cabins. Silver City, Grant County. Well, according to new findings presented at the American Astronomical Society meeting this week in Long Beach, the Milky Way is home to at least, get this, 17 billion planets that are similar in size to the Earth. The new estimate suggests that that's more than 2 Earth-sized planets for every person on the globe. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Mark Sykes. Dr. Sykes, the Buckmaster Show contributor on space exploration. He is the CEO and director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, which last year celebrated its 40th year as a nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. He chairs NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group. In fact, he'll be off to Washington next week for the Small Bodies Assessment Group. Is that like the annual meeting? And first of all, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Bill.
Is that kind of your big meeting?
We have 2 meetings a year, and of course, being in D.C., that's when we get all the government people coming by to see what's going on. And this year, we're going to also have a number of guests from other agencies from other countries, like Japan, Germany, and China. To talk about their missions and the future of human exploration and the role of small bodies, near-Earth objects in that exploration.
And speaking of small bodies, 17 billion Earth-size small bodies, I guess they qualify, right?
I'm not going to judge.
But that is a tremendous amount in the Milky Way, and we're learning so much about our own galaxy. This is a kind of a starting point, like a marker, the Earth-sized planets, right?
Yeah, not only Earth-sized planets, but a number of them in these Goldilocks zones, you know, where you could have liquid water existing on the surface, and liquid water is something that we think of as fundamental to having life. And so it really does further beg the question of how common is life in the universe.
Were you surprised by this number? No,
I didn't have any expectations, so I wasn't surprised. But I think it's exciting that 1 in 6 stars could have Earth-like planets in habitable zones. So that's very neat.
But then when you talk about life, whether it would be like, you know, like us, like who knows? I mean, Earth-like planets means that the ingredients, as you say, water, you could have some life form. Maybe that would be the way to put it.
Well, an Earth-like planet is the size. You know, is it similar in size to the Earth? A lot of these planets are about twice as massive as the Earth, the ones that have been detected. And there's a lot of other ifs there. Does it have an atmosphere? Or is it in the right distance from its star? You know, does it have water, et cetera?
I want to get back to this meeting that's coming up next week, and China is really becoming a major player, aren't they, in space exploration?
They are. They're ramping up very fast, and they've been sending some missions to the moon. They were going to have a mission to Mars, piggybacking with the Russian Phobos Grunt mission, but unfortunately that launch failed, or got into orbit, but then it didn't go anywhere, came back.
They had a flyby recently of a near-Earth asteroid.
They did. They sent a mission
kind of under the radar screen as far as publicity was concerned.
Yeah. Well, they didn't talk about it.
Not until it was over.
Yeah, well, they wanted to make sure that it was going to work. And they'd sent their second spacecraft to the moon. It orbited the moon, did some observations, went off to L2, a gravitational point in the Earth-Moon system. And then it started this trajectory towards this near-Earth asteroid, Tutatis, as it was coming by the vicinity of the Earth. Now, Tutatis is interesting because it was the first radar-imaged asteroid more than a decade ago. And so this was an opportunity to be able to compare something that we've imaged with this radar technique with a real picture of it. They didn't talk about it, and amateurs had tracked the position of the spacecraft across the sky, and JPL scientists figured out, oh, this is where they're going, and they successfully were able to take pictures of Tutatis on December 13th, and they're making their first scientific presentation of the results at our meeting in D.C. Next Tuesday.
The knock on our space program continues to be whether or not we're going to get some kind of a direction. Where are we going as far as human exploration?
Well,
I mean, isn't that the big question? That's the big gorilla in the room.
Yeah, that is a big question. I mean, frankly, to go back to the moon on a short time scale would require doubling NASA's budget, which isn't really going to be happening. But and going to a near-Earth asteroid, which is what the Obama administration has picked, certainly falls within the what we can afford. But it does beg the question of why are we doing any of this? And that's something which is still to be worked out. I think that there's some real value in our human space activity, whether it's laying the groundwork for future economic expansion in space or human expansion in space. But we have to embrace that kind of a goal in order to you know, take the right steps to achieve it, as opposed to just, you know, one-off space spectaculars.
You know, going to these near-Earth asteroids, it's great for the science, but it's not, just speaking as a non-scientist, it's not something that really grabs you like a big mission to a planet.
well, again, it depends on the why. You know, I've been saying that if we wanted to use near-Earth asteroids as gas stations of the future, you know, recover water from them, bring them back so that we're, instead of hauling everything up from the surface of the Earth, we can bring in fuel from these objects that come very close to the Earth and use that to go back and forth to the moon, to get out to Mars, to explore near-Earth space, whatever we want to do. And so
like the old stagecoach station.
Yeah.
When you were traveling over the trail to the west or something, you needed places to, well, stop.
Right, or this would be the equivalent of building roads, sewer lines, electrical lines, stuff like that. So if we send an automated facility out there to scoop up the stuff, heat it, extract the water and bring it back, well, you'd probably want to send a human mission along with at least the first one to kick the can and make sure, you know, take what humans do best, you know, their innovation, their ability to improvise when the unexpected pops up. And then that recovery system that would be there would be duplicated and then automatically sent out to other potential gas stations to bring fuel back to near-Earth orbit.
Kind of, we're just about out of time, but it was another, speaking of studies, there was a new study showing that it's, I think it was done recently, simulating a 17-month space voyage. The conclusion, the astronauts got drowsy and lethargic. Now, why am I not real surprised by
right,
that?
Right, well, they also have problems with
unless
bone loss,
out
too.
Exercising. Yeah, hey, not a lot to do.
You know, we could test that in front of a television set.
Yeah, I mean, that would have worked just as well. Dr. Mark Sykes, thank you so much, CEO and Director of the Planetary Science Institute here in Tucson. And the website for the Planetary Science Institute is psi.edu. Did I get that right?
That is correct.
All right, I won't even tell you what I was going to say. Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill. And a happy new year.
Same to you. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. All the guests here on the Buckmaster Show enjoy Culligan water. Well, the reason is very simple. It just tastes better. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show, 3 to 5. John normally started off with a one-hour show here on KVOI, and now he has expanded to 2 hours, 3 to 5. And coming up tomorrow morning, Chris and Joe have Wake Up Tucson. Our Friday Focus interview tomorrow will be looking ahead to the start of the Arizona legislative session, which gets underway on Monday. Our guest will be State Senator-elect Steve Farley. We'll be talking about the upcoming session. Sarah Garrett Gasson will be with me on the roundtable from the Arizona Daily Star, and Mark Evans from TucsonCitizen.com. And of course, Matt Russell will have Weekend Watch. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thanks very much for being with us. We'll be with you tomorrow at 12:04.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.